The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. So reliable, it just goes on and on and on.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is Thursday morning, the 9th of July 2020 at 4 minutes past 9. We're here till 10. The text number is 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie. And the good news is that despite the showers and the rain and the ceaseless, endless rain, it's going to be Christmas soon, which is good. I know you probably didn't need to know that. But for example, according to balls.ie, Christmas FM is returning to the Irish Airwaves today for one day only. And you can tune into them after 10 o'clock to all your heart's content. But they've just decided, let's do it. I mean, why wouldn't you do it? The Hallmark Channel in TV is starting to play Christmas movies from July 10th till July 27th. They feel that the world, the planet, you, me, them, everybody needs a little Christmas cheer. In fact, we have our own. I see Melanie Finn covering it this morning in the Herald. A sing-along special to showcase Tubbs' top toy show moments. Because that's what we're going to do. We are going to have a sing-along toy show greatest hits special. And it's going to be something for all the family to sit around and watch. And as you're watching it, you'll be able to sing along because the words will be on the screen of the songs, a la karaoke. It's pretty good stuff. Sunday, July 19th at 6:30 at RT1. Get the popcorn out, get the fire on, get the tree out, do what you've got to do. But for one night only, it's going to be Christmas again. The toy show's back with a vengeance. I won't watch it because I'm mortified. But I recommend you all watch it because you need a bit of sunshine in your life. You need some tinsel in your world. So that's what's happened. Happy Christmas, everybody. I mean, sometimes you just need a bit of Christmas in your life. And it's quite a cute thing. That's a nice thing. So the sing-along show is going to be fun and I hope you like it. And we'll keep you up to speed on that before we head off into the sunset. Next week. We're still here next week. Don't be worrying about that at all. What else have I got for you this morning? Well, we've plenty to be talking about because obviously you saw the news that the COVID-19 tracing app has passed 1 million downloads. So everyone feels that's working out. I know there are a few glitches here along the way and what phone is compatible and some people don't have the technology, etc. But for those who do and for those who can, you're into 1 million downloads. So I suspect that's a good thing. I mentioned Boohoo. Boohoo shares slide again by 14%. That's the fast fashion company paying for their crimes, knowing or otherwise, at the moment. So that will be of interest to one of our guests this morning. We'll talk about that a little later on. So that's all in the mix today. I see that over 200 young people turned up at a house party uninvited in County Kildare on Monday evening. God help her. 17-year-old girl posted on social media she was having some friends to her house in Leixlip. That somebody took a screen grab of it. It got shared, it went viral, and she was going to have a bunch, you know, a few friends, but it went completely insane. People got taxis and travelled from Blanchardstown, Ballyferma, Clondalkin, Lucan, Maynooth, Selbridge, and other places. Imagine the hordes arriving on your house. And Gardaí said they received reports of a disturbance at a residence in Leixlip at around 7 o'clock on Monday. Partygoers were asked to leave. Three teenagers were arrested for public order offences and they'll be prosecuted under the Juvenile Diversion Programme. And that comes after the scenes of that party in, I think it was Waterford, in the house where I think about 63 people were one after the other were coming out. If you haven't seen that, that's going back to last week now. But it's weirdly funny, although I know people say it's wrong. I know, but there's sometimes you have to shake your head and go, "What the world's bonkers." And they're young, and young people will take bigger risks, and they will be listening to the news and saying, "Well, you know, we seem to be pretty much immune." Yeah, but you can give it to somebody else. Yeah, I know, but it's only so much they can take. And equally with the pubs, you can see people go, "But your man didn't even have as much as a cocktail sausage." Yeah, I know, but did we think that everyone was going to play by the rules with that either? Here's hoping July 20th we'll get there and everyone can just open and steady as she goes and it gets. People are missing flying, obviously, because they can't fly because they've been asked not to. And in Taiwan, what they've done is because people are so keen to fly, they've organised a fantasy flight. This flight doesn't take off. What they've done is you get tickets if you can. So 10,000 people ask for tickets so they could sit on a plane, on a runway, just to remember what it's like to fly. That's how desperate people are. And they won a draw, their tickets, and each person could bring a guest, and they sat on board this plane, 66 of them, and as with normal flights, had to check in, obtain boarding passes, all the things that make life hell in an airport for me, going through immigration, security procedures. This is for the crack, to be on the plane. And they hope that the event will generate future travellers a knowledge and awareness. And after taking the seats, the passengers, all wearing masks, apart from the ones I'm looking at in this picture for some reason, were served food and drinks, participated in a pop quiz, and were treated to a good luck salute from fire engines that sprayed water. And after they left, without the plane having lifted from the ground, passengers were given a demonstration about security by custom officials, accompanied by a sniffer dog. That sounds like my, not quite hell, but not something I'd be very keen on doing. It's a very sad looking picture in the paper this morning of what's called a horseshoe crab. I've never heard of a horseshoe crab, but they're lined up one beside another. They look like a military helmet, you know, that kind of colour, green. And they have a straw coming out of them as they're strapped into like a metal shelf, about 10 of them in a row, and a straw inserted into them. And this blue gunk going into a bottle, looks like a urine sample bottle. Anyway, so what I'm looking at is this idea that the hunt for a COVID-19 vaccine could have serious consequences for horseshoe crabs whose blood is used to test the safety of medicines. It's a sad picture. Horseshoe crab numbers have dropped dramatically in recent years due in part to the pharmaceutical industry's harvesting of the animals for their unique blue blood. And it does. Their blue blood looks like a kind of kid's milkshake or bizarre cocktail. But it is it's a sad picture. I don't have any great affinity for the horseshoe crab family. I don't know who or what they are, but this picture looks like something out of a science fiction movie, like so much of our lives do. Residents in Louth, meanwhile, according to Louise Walsh in the Irish Examiner, who are catching rats as big as shovels. And there's a picture of a rat lying on the shovel head. Shovel Head means something else to me. It means there's a very good pizza place called Shovel Head, but I'm not going to be, my nerves are gone now, because now I'm looking at a shovel head with a rat on it. But the place I'm talking about, they're delicious. Not the rat with... The residents of this place in Drogheda have caught up to 100 rats in their estate since February and are afraid to let their children, some as young as 3 years of age, out to play in the front gardens. That's because they're probably the same size as the rat. I've never seen anything like that. Rats get bad press, don't they? Are rats as bad as they we're told they are? I'm sure rat lovers say nice things about them. Is that what Vladimir Putin said about hamsters? He said, hamsters are just rats with good PR. And there's kind of sense in that. I get that too. Books. Let's talk about books for a minute, because Dunleary Libraries, at DLR _libraries, tweeted to say, no, you shouldn't microwave library books to try and kill COVID-19. All returned material is quarantined for 72 hours. Items are fitted with a metallic radio frequency identification tag, which can and will burn if microwaved. Oh, who's putting microwaves, books in microwaves, lads? Do you know what I'll do? I'll put it in the microwave. That'll work. That's somebody reading stupid websites. Okay. Thank you for that. And sure enough, they have a picture of a book that has clearly been cooked in the microwave. Mad. Okay, thank you for that. Meanwhile, over in the UK, readers have been emerging from lockdown to restock their bookshelves, and they are having a book boom. This is wonderful news. What do people want to read? They want to read stories of murder and revenge. That in itself says so much about the mind of the lockdown family who eventually are released. And what they want to read is murder and revenge, because they are lusting with these feelings since probably about 3 days into the lockdown. They've sold nearly 11 million books worth nearly 100 million pounds sterling sold over the period. So what are they reading? Lee Child's latest book, Blue Moon. Lisa Jewell's The Family Upstairs. I did not like that book, but that's not because that's not everyone, people will love it. I didn't like it. And Peter May's prescient Lockdown. The girl, woman, other also did a job, as did Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race. And what else is doing a job for them all? Colson Whitehead's The Nickel Boys. I really enjoyed that, if you haven't read that. And Exciting Times by Nishan Dolam. And The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. That's the UK list. I'm going to recommend a book today. At last, I gave Iceland a break for 5 minutes, even though I have to go back to it because there's loads more to read. But my brother recommended this to me and I gobbled it up. It's a book called A Talented Man by Henrietta McCurvey, who, according to the blurb, is originally from Belfast and now lives in Dublin. So it is a good Irish recommendation. Beautiful cover, by the way. I'm not quite sure how to sell this to you because it's kind of based in London in the 30s. It reminded me, it would be a lovely companion piece to Joseph O'Connor's Shadow Play. If you like that, you will love this. And the blurb on the front says, a master forger, a lost sequel, a murder. And that's the sell. It's 1930s. The mood of the place, it's London. It's old, faded wealth and scheming and skullduggery. And it's beautifully written. It's funny. There's an Irish twist in it. There's a bit of Bram Stoker in there. And as Christine Dwyer Hickey says in the cover, it said there's a touch of the talent of Mr. Ripley about it, which immediately draws my eye. A chilling and engrossing tale of the psychopathic mind. It's called A Talented Man by Henrietta McCurvey. And it comes with high and glowing recommendation from me. If that means anything to you, go for it. And lovely holiday reading. I really, really enjoyed that. Oh, I love it. I love when you get a good one. You just go, yes, thank you for that. Dublin City Council, meanwhile, has revived plans to buy the former home of playwright Sean O'Casey in Dublin's north inner city. Fair play to Dublin City Council. This is great. I love when they do this because it's keeping the story alive through buildings like they did around the place. And I just think it's great. They're buying 422 North Circular Road, which was O'Casey's last home. And it's a great thing that they're going to do that. And it has been secured and they're going to buy the building. So well done to them. OK. PJG says, strange shout out to Shovelhead Pizza. But yeah, it's the best pizza in town. It is. Yeah, I know. And it's knockout. It's just when I saw the Shovelhead with the rat on it, I just thought, oh no, I will not confuse the two. But yeah, you get it. But it is delicious. Funny you mentioned Christmas FM coming on for a day. I was driving the other day and stuck on a random CD of some favourite music I made up. In the middle of it, out popped Fairy Tale of New York, which was lovely, says Noel. Totally out of the context, but it seemed to fit the mood perfectly. And your name's Noel. So it all worked. Another says, just on board our Qatar flight back to Sydney, Australia, listening to your show on the plane's Wi-Fi. Really? We are dual citizens and have decided to move our young family back to Oz. Ah, it was a sad day yesterday, saying goodbye to our family. And during these strange times, we couldn't even hug our closest loved ones or have a proper send-off with the friends in the pub. I think of a call out to the Curry and McGrath family back home and a special happy 70th birthday to Nana Rosie. We're going to miss you all. With love from Michael and Aideen and Alana and William. Safe travels, friends, and good luck back in Australia. I was reading about, isn't it Victoria that's closed down, I think? And it was strange reading it because my eye was drawn to the newspaper article by the photograph of the shelves with half-empty shelves with little food on it. And I thought, God, that reminds me of here. Remember when the lockdown first began, which 800 years ago? And it feels that far back. But they're going through it again. And that kind of gave me a little wake-up call because you saw the empty shelves and then the police are on the roads telling people you've got to go 2 kilometres if you're lucky. They've closed down the borders. And so in terms of the ability of the virus to come back and bite you in the derriere collectively, you just never know. And there's a very interesting chart which was issued by the Texas Medical Association, which ranks how risky an activity is regarding COVID-19 on a scale of 1 to 10. So it goes, 1 is all green, then it gets a little less green, then it goes yellow, and then it goes orange, and then it goes red. So what's cool? So the least problematic thing, the easiest way to survive is opening your post is fine. Getting a takeaway from the restaurant is green, green, green. I thought, you know, some people kind of go, oh, whose hands and what? Nope, you're good. Getting petrol, green, green, green. playing tennis and going camping. Green, you're safe as houses. It's great. When does it start getting messy? Well, there's loads more green. I'll go up to the sevens, will I? What's happened around seven? What's kind of makes you kind of go, you know, the builder looking at the, oh, it's going to cost more than you thought. So we'll head to seven. What's seven? Getting your haircut, eating in a restaurant indoors, going to a wedding or a funeral, travelling by plane, playing football or hugging and shaking. That's seven, starting to get that. And then I'll give you the eights and nines. Now we're into burgundy and full on red, which are buffet dining. Forget about it, yeah. Working out at a gym, do it at home. Going to an amusement park, not funny. Going to a cinema. Get busy streaming at home, according to this. But they're saying that's an eight, like a big dirty red eight. That's, I presume if it's properly dealt with, it's okay. Because I was going to go to the cinema this week. A large music concert's gone. Sports stadium, you're gone, lads. And a religious service with 500 plus words, but that's fine. But the biggest, and this kills me to say it, the biggest risk, according to this, on the scale of 1 to 10, at a big juicy number 9, because there isn't a 10, is going to a bar. Oh, just add alcohol. It's going to get messy, isn't it? We have to watch that. Watch that carefully. It's 9:20. It's Thursday morning and we are open for business.
Well, I got a woman. Oh, yeah. I don't know she's all right. I don't know she's all right. She's all right. She's all right.
Ray Charles, I love that. I've got a woman at 9:23. Ryan, if you've never read The Truth About the Harry Kuber Affair by Joel Dickers, get it. You know what? I banged on about that for about, I'd say, a summer on the radio, and I loved it. The follow-up was rotten, but that book itself was really good. And do you know what it is? It's a great summer read. It's big, it's sprawling, but it's very manageable and good fun. So thank you for reminding me of that this morning. That's a good one. But today I'm recommending A Talented Man by Henrietta McCurvey, which is just a terrific read. Get down early. I find what happens is I recommend a book sometimes and it goes, some people buy it. And then I go down to buy it for somebody I want to buy it for and it's gone. So be sure to buy it if you can from your local bookshop, because they could do with the business. They'd appreciate it and they're brilliant at what they do. So go for it. Thank you. Now, John Brennan was on to say, our Christmas shop online is open for business, right? We have beautiful Christmas trees, lights and decorations at christmastrees.ie. Yeah. Well, look, given that we're talking a little bit about Christmas, with our tongues firmly in our cheeks this morning, why not get ahead of yourselves? Could be, you mightn't have the time in October, November. You might have too much of it now, so make use of it. The Cork Virtual Summer Show got underway last Saturday. Well done to them. Organised by the Munster Agricultural Society. It's been running for 200 years and they took it virtual. It was a great success. So well done. They got entries as far away as New Zealand. And they donated loads of money to six Irish charities. And up next is the Irish Shows Association event on August 22nd. It's great that they're all doing that and keeping online and keeping the show on the road. I love the Harry Kuber Affair. I missed the characters when I had finished. That's a good sign. It's one of those books. It's really, really good and well worth a look at if you can. Now, what I'll do is I'll take a break and then I'll bring somebody to your attention after this. Thanks for that. Great song. You enjoyed Ray Charles. We had an air trumpet, air cello and air drums with Grace and Sean and Tom, age 9, 7 and 4. Happy to have no homeschooling to do, I bet. The relief. And now you can have that educational school of life stuff, which is terrific. This is strange because Gemma says if you liked Harry Kuber, another one by the same author as The Baltimore Boys, which I just said I absolutely despised. So it's funny how you aren't listening. I was saying that she... No, I just want to say I despised it. I tried it and it just didn't go anywhere for me. And I find there's not much point in suffering when there are so many other books calling out to you. So there's no point in walking through a wall of literary jelly when you can have a much happier time elsewhere. We talked about Hamilton, the musical. And I was kind of dreading it, because it was 2 hours and 40 minutes long and I didn't know much about it and I'm kind of mixed feelings about if something's too musically. Anyway, sat down, put it on, couldn't understand a few minutes of it because they were all talking so fast, put the subtitles on, kept going, loved it. Absolutely loved it. Shay played some of it this morning and, you know, your ear will be caught by it. It's just terrific. It's just a, very energetic and powerful take on a piece of American history I'm not familiar with at all. And an email came in from Jean saying, look, I had heard so much about Hamilton. I planned to go and see it in London at some stage. So I was delighted to hear it would be streaming on Disney Plus, although I knew it wouldn't quite be the same. I started watching it, she writes, and I just wasn't getting into it. I was a bit disappointed, but I was adamant I was going to stick with it until the end. I have to admit, I wouldn't have been hugely knowledgeable about American history, so I think that contributed to my struggle. I persisted and began to enjoy the music, but I still couldn't really follow the story. Subtitle. Anyway, nearing the end, only 40 minutes to go, it's after 2 hours in fairness to you, I realised, although I was kind of enjoying this, I still couldn't explain what had actually happened. I was lost. It wasn't helped that some of the other characters, or the actors, were playing two parts, so their characters changed along the way. That's very confusing. It really is. It was 40 minutes to go anyway. I stopped, and the next day I went all the way back to the beginning, concentrated more on what the characters were actually singing, and watched it to the end, and I loved it. It was terrific. Everything about it was gripping. It's lashing rain today, the kids are at summer camp, and I'm actually tempted to watch it all over again. But I'll refrain for now. I really want to see it in the West End at some stage when things get back to normal. At least now, I'll be able to follow the story. Yeah, I'd love to see it. I'd say it is stunning on stage. I had the look of it. And Samantha in Kildare says just that. She says, you have to see Hamilton on stage. It's an amazing experience in the Victoria Palace Theatre in London, which was renovated especially for the run. A beautiful theatre. You will love it. COVID allowing, of course. Thank you. Samantha, I appreciate that. Hey, wouldn't it be a brilliant opening for the toy show? No, joke. Joe, I mentioned Alcock and Brown, that statue in Clifton yesterday. It's one of my favourites, and the great Brian Hughes brought it over from Heathrow Airport, and they got a replica put in the square, and it's just beautiful. The town square, it's beautiful, and I got sent a very nice piece of, it's a front page from the Daily Mail. Paul Henderson very decently sent it along framed, and on it is the story. It's a photograph of Alcock and Brown being presented by the cheque, I think it's for £10,000 sterling, imagine that, at that time, by Winston Churchill. Because it was the Mail, the newspaper, that set the bet that says, can anyone do this? And if you do, you get 10 grand. So those boys left and landed on a bog just outside Clifton and it went back to the UK, met Winston Churchill, who gave them £10,000, and now they're remembered in Clifton. On the west coast of Ireland in Connemara. It's a great old story. So thanks, Paul, for that. That was very thoughtful. And a great bit of history. So I enjoyed that immensely. Meanwhile, Catherine from the Company of Books in Ranelagh, who've been, by all accounts, helping people out brilliantly in that area, certainly, during the, as have all the local bookshops during the pandemic. She was on to say, A Talented Man, which I've been recommending this morning, is a great read. Thanks for all your staycation recommended reading and a support of Irish bookshops as ever. Now, well, we're all supporting each other, Catherine, as you know, so well done to you and all your colleagues and friends in the independent bookshops around the country. Talented Man by Henrietta McCurvey is the book recommended today. Well done. Delighted you're looking at these kinds of issues. I would urge your daughter to keep on influencing you. Both of them. I would be lost without what they offer me and my mind and as a wing clipping in a given day. They're just beautiful encyclopedias that keep me keep my eye on what's relevant. So I'm lucky, man. Minty sounds like a great idea. Just make sure you have larger clothes and not just clothes that would fit a cat. Thank you for that tip. Pauline was on to say, as a student in London in the 90s, one of the first tips I got from my friends was to damage an outfit if I wanted to return it without a receipt. Very cheeky. The zip was always a target. It's not advice I took, too honest, but the students would joke about doing it all the time. I can just imagine the waste generated by sabotage in London. And this was the 90s, Pauline. I'm sure those days are behind you. Hamilton is Lin-Manuel Miranda's second musical. Okay. His first was called In the Heights, and it's set in Brooklyn where he grew up. And there is a film about that. Well, now I didn't know that. And as I mentioned to you, my youngest had told me that he plays Bert in the reimagining of the Mary Poppins thing, and he is some talent. I never really heard of Unsolved Mysteries, this programme that is apparently doing great business on Netflix at the moment. It was it an 80s thing or a 90s thing? Okay, it passed me by. I was interested in a much sicker, psychotic periodical called Murder Casebook. There's about three of you listening who'll know what I'm talking about. Welcome to my weird gang, but that's for another... Don't even look it up. It's disturbing. God, when I think of it... I'll save that for my psychiatrist. Unsolved Mysteries, meanwhile, garnered an eye-popping 20 credible leads on cases featuring in its six new episodes, a day after the show's Netflix revival, which came out recently. Among the usable tips was information pertaining to alleged suicide victim Ray Rivera and Alonzo Brooks, whose body was discovered in a creek after the 23-year-old attended a party in Kansas. And Unsolved Mysteries received leads on Lena Chaplin, who disappeared after being slated to testify against her mother in her stepfather's death. So they're finding leads, which is kind of crazy. That is something I might have to have a little look at. I started looking at Kevin Costner's new drama, Yellowstone, which is essentially, if this means anything to you, Succession with horses on a ranch. And that's what it did, with a bit of Dallas thrown in. Kevin Costner's a good actor, isn't he? I like him. I trust him. Do you know, you kind of think he's good. But it's called Yellowstone. It was on RT2 last night, so it must be on the player. That's worth a look. I recorded Mrs. America, but the lads upstairs were saying big thumbs down, and the reviews today in the papers are saying thumbs down for that. But I'll still give it a go and see what happens. The time now is 9:45.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
At 9:50, and just interesting to look at the things that are high risk on the COVID 1 to 10. Travelling by plane is number 7, which is an orange alert. Just so you know, just shy of eating at a buffet and going to a gym. 51551. Good morning, Ryan. Good morning. I began watching The Snowman last night on RTE1. Oh, I have strong feelings on that. But I had to bail out after 20 minutes, says this text. I found it too gruesome. I'd been looking forward to a detective series and I love Fassbender. Did I wuss out? I'll tell you what you did there. First and foremost, it's a Joe Nesbo book and they're great and they are gruesome. So that's fine. Read the blurb. Secondly, that film is awful, despite one of my favourite people, let alone actors, being in it. And I remember at the time, I think he said, or somebody said, Michael Fassbender, that wonderful actor in that film, was like a really good guest at a dreadful party. And I thought, yeah, well, we'll take that. So he didn't wuss out at all. Big fan of Murder Casebook. Oh, there she is. There's somebody else. Catherine from Cork. That's it. You and me, Catherine. Born in 1973 also. Came with a ring binder file. Eagerly awaited the next installment. Riveting. Peter Sutcliffe stands out. Bizarre, I know. And the acid bath murder. Do you remember that one? All in there. Strange. Unsolved Mystery started in the late 80s. Thank you, Alan, in Louth. Originally presented by Raymond Burr and then Carl Malden. Gosh, Carl on his nose. And then Robert Stack is brilliantly unnerving. Okay, I'll give it a go and see. Thank you. Because I thought it sounded like Ripley's, Believe It or Not. Remember, that we used to watch that in the 80s, Jack Ripley. I'll get on to that. So thank you for your reminder. There is, of course, and the sculpture of Alcock and Brown and Clifton I was talking about was cast in Dublin, says Suzanne McDougall, by the bronze foundry owned by David O'Brien. They do the most wonderful work, and this work involves an enormous amount of skill and work. Well worth a visit. You'd be fascinated. No one realises the work behind a bronze sculpture. Well, they did a beautiful job in that one. It's one of my favourites, and it's beautifully placed as well, which is, of course, very important. Take a quick break. My daughter bought a text from Laura, sorry, from Helen, says, bought a beautiful Michael H. skirt from Minty and it arrived in the most beautiful packaging. And so, like so many young people, my daughter has a deep conscience around the issues highlighted by Laura and raises awareness in our house every day. Well, that's the way to do it. It's minty.ie, minti.ie, if you're interested in that. Gotta go. Thank you so much for your time today and stay tuned for Sarah McInerney. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.